3, 4, 5, 5, 6.
Folks, welcome back to another episode of Viva Chikara here on ProWrestlingPonderings.com. I'm Kevin Ford. I'm still on a high after King of Trios 2012 went down a few weeks ago, and my Chikara love is at an all-time high, so of course, why would I want to come to this podcast and talk more about it? And with me, as always, is my partner in crime, Justin Houston. Justin, how's it going?
It's going good. Did you call the show Viva Chikara?
Yeah, of course I did.
I forgot. I wasn't paying attention. I was like trying to get my stuff together at the last minute, like I always do. And I was like, oh, I wonder what show he said. Viva Chikara, because it's our name, of course. And we are all about Chikara. And we're coming off quite an exciting weekend of some crazy Chikara action that, quite frankly, I think a lot of people, including yours truly, slept on a little bit, thinking they couldn't deliver amazing Trios action. And they totally did.
Yeah, I believe I put on the PW Ponderings Twitter, because I was tweeting results all weekend once the show was over. I knew there was a lot of people who were like, nah, Trios, nah, on paper, I don't really want to go. It doesn't look that good. And especially on night 3 when that was over, I was like, for anybody who slept on these cards and really didn't think it was going to be worth their time, please buy these shows, download them, stream them, get the DVDs, and just watch them and see how wrong you were. And not to say that in like an elitist, snarky way. Yeah, buy King of Trios if you haven't already. It was an incredible weekend. Probably my favorite weekend I've had as a wrestling fan, just going to shows, and I could not have had a more positive experience. I mean, the difference between Easton and Philly is night and day. And I was explaining this to one of my friends, is that I feel like a lot of people who go to shows at the ECW Arena, they kind of just accidentally show up there. Like, oh, wrestling? I'll go to the show. And so you get a lot of these people who show up to a wrestling show and they don't know who's on the roster, they're not aware of the storylines, or they have a specific type of wrestling they like maybe an ECW kind of mentality or a Ring of Honor sort of mentality. And so when you get something that's a little more out there like Chikara, they're not going to respond to it very well. And they're just going to sit on their hands and just kind of, put their nose up at the show. They don't really want to get into it. But nobody accidentally ends up in Easton, Pennsylvania. And everyone was there, everyone was loud, everyone had a good time. It was one of the more positive crowd experiences I had, regardless of a few bad eggs. They couldn't spoil the bunch. And I met some really cool people, a lot of people who complimented us on our podcast, who complimented me on the Chikara special stuff I do. So that was very flattering and very nice. And, of course, the wrestling and the wrestlers were all awesome.
Sounds like you had quite a time there, Kevin.
Aw, Justin. No, don't cry. It'll be fine.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Like every time I see those, I just think, man, I'd like to be a part of something special like that.
One day, I have a good feeling that one day you will be able to go.
I hope so. I certainly hope so. But yeah, the DVDs. In terms of the DVDs, I haven't been able to watch night 3 yet. I have watched night 1 and 2, just tons of fun. Exactly. It's sort of funny watching the shows because going back and looking at what the card was, I just kept thinking, boy, they're really going to have to bring their A game. If they do, it's going to be, great fun. But, I mean, everything would have to work perfectly. And it totally does. Like, I don't know why I would have doubted that they put so much work into these weekends I won't make that mistake again. I feel like I say I won't. Next year I'm going to be like, oh, I don't know about this. Just ridiculous. But yeah, it's been phenomenal so far. I hear nothing but amazing things about night 3. So that'll come up here. I might watch it again. I'm going on vacation starting October 5th, going down to Cape Canaveral for a week at the Ron John Cape Caribe Resort. So I'll be there for a week. And I'll probably watch it while I'm down there.
I don't like overhyping stuff because I'm worried that, I'm overhyping things or overstating things and that maybe somebody who will watch the show or the match after it won't get as excited for it because they have such high expectations. I like to call it the PWG effect with me, as I hear like the shows are the greatest thing they've ever seen. Like I might get an orgasm watching them. It never happens. So I'm usually disappointed with PWG shows. So I've ignored PWG fans online. But that being said, I'm going to say some things about night 3 that will get some people hopefully, in the spirit to either rewatch or just buy the show. If you're a penny pincher, if you can't afford all three nights of Trios, if you're spending dollars are going to other things and you can only choose one night, make it night three, because I think it was the best show Chikara's had all year. I think it is the best single night in King of Trios history. I think it is the best finals in King of Trio history and one of the best shows Chikara's ever had, ever. And you should watch it now.
And yeah, you really don't get higher praise than that.
Yeah, I was completely and totally blown away. I mean, I don't know what I expected, but I got an amazing wrestling show and just a phenomenal weekend. And, you know, I sort of had the same feeling I had in 2009 when King of Trios just blew me away, and I've gone to everyone ever since. And if they do it in 2013, I'm sure I'll be there again. So that's all that.
Indeed, yeah. So we're past Trios now, which, you know.
Do we have to be?
We do, because that's the thing, is that there are a lot of I've been pretty critical of Chikara storylines in the first half of the year, and there's a lot of threads that are coming together really nicely, and I'm actually intrigued to see where things go, especially the Quack Saga involving Gekido and that faction members and how they're dropping like flies. And seeing him appear to literally murder Combatant.
He Steven Seagal'd him in the middle of the ring.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty brutal. I'm hooked. I'm hooked on this, on where this particular storyline is going. And now with Sabato sort of lurking, trying to insert himself, everyone dumping on Wink Vavasour for his all his failings at King of Trios, a myriad of teams vying for a shot. The Young Bucks, a team with seemingly no challengers and no threats, just this sort of unbeatable force. Now they're going to be surrounded on all sides by quite a few teams, several of which I expect to pick up title shots on this weekend. And yeah, it's looking like they're gonna have their hands full over the next couple of shows.
So let's get into it, my friend. I think you have the first card on deck: Deep Freeze, Piedmont, Alabama, this Saturday. What's going on? I know you're supposed to be at the show, but
I was. This was the show that I bought tickets to, and that I ended up planning a vacation in around it that I just couldn't avoid, and. It had slipped my mind that I'd already bought these tickets. So my dad is going, and I forget who he's bringing along. But he'll be going with some people, and so it'll be kind of weird to watch a wrestling show and see my dad's face just sort of sporadically throughout. But he's a big Chikara fan, and I'm sort of creating a dossier for him so that he can have as much or as little information as he wants. So, yeah, we'll go on to the first match here, which is a trios match. It features two members of the Batiri, Oberyn and Kodama, teaming with seemingly a mentor of sorts in Ophidian. Now, for those of you that don't know or are coming off Trios and want to get more into Chikara, I feel it's our responsibility to explain things the best we can. So here it goes. Delirious of Ring of Honor fame, if you've never seen him much in Chikara. He's waging war with the Spectre Envoy of Ultramantis Black and Hollow Wicked and Frightmare. And he has enlisted the aid of sort of two separate entities. One is the Batiri. It's a group of three people: Oberyn, Kodama, and Kobold. They are these goblin-like creatures, and they have... He has sort of set aside the Snake Man Ophidian to kind of guide them. It's been very interesting. I thought they would be on equal footing when Delirious sort of recruited him very subtly by just sort of cupping his face and giving him a nice little kiss on the forehead. But it seems like he has tapped Ophidian to play sort of second in command, and really, when Delirious isn't around, guide the Batiri in battle. So Ophidian will be leading Oberyn and Kodama of the Batiri against Fist. Now, Fist in this case is going to be Icarus, Chuck Taylor, And normally it would be Johnny Gargano would be the third member. But this time it is going to be Sugar Dunkerton, who was made a member of Fist arbitrarily. Our director of fun, Chikar Wink Vavasur, as I mentioned before, decided to just sort of throw people together using complex mathematical formulas. So you have a member of the colony into the swarm, a member of the swarm into the colony. Everything's topsy-turvy. 3.0 and Akuma are getting along, trying to make that work. And Dunkerton is an unwilling member of Fist. Now, he's kind of trying to make it work, but they keep insisting on, you know, cheating. And it's clear they don't like Dunkerton at all. So there's a lot of complexity in this match, which is built as a bunch of Rudos and some Sugar. So Obarian, Kanama, and Ophidian versus Icarus, Chuck Taylor, and Sugar Dunkerton. I really feel like, they could really use a win here, Ophidian and the Materi. So I'm going to go with them. But Kevin, who do you think is going to pull this out?
I have the same thoughts, if nothing else, because they have a big main event match the next night. Obarian and Kodama are very comfortable working with each other, and Ophidian's been leading them for the past couple of months, but they haven't really competed in a match together yet, so they're really going to need this match to kind of get all their eggs in one basket and try to figure out how they're going to work with each other if they're going to want to go and take out such a well-oiled team the next evening, but we'll get to that later. And I think, Dunkerton and them had some problems. He helped Fist inadvertently cheating both nights of trios in night one and night two, and it backfired on night three. So, they really just don't want anything to do with Dunkerton. Dunkerton wants to do his best, but he can only take being called a water boy and being berated as much as he can. So, push is going to come to shove, maybe literally in this instance. And I think the more cohesive team of Ophidian and the Materi are going to take on, they're going to win this match. And did you mention this is sort of a pseudo rematch of the last year's Kingsport show?
No, I did not mention that. Yeah, that with the two replacement entities on that show that I actually did go to, Ophidian was Cobalt, so it was a full Materi lineup, and Dunkerton was Johnny Gargano, so it was a full Fist lineup, and they had a very funny match. Actually, my girlfriend's favorite match on the show, So, yeah, this is sort of a repairing, obviously, with new members. But it's that same concept. There's a lot of bad dudes in this match.
Mm-hmm. Well, the reason I bring that up is I actually, when this match got announced, I rewatched it. Because it is, if you have not seen it, it is available in full for free on YouTube. Jakar put on one of their episodes of the podcast to go back in December sometime. Just type in, like, Materi vs. Fist into YouTube and it'll come up pretty much right away. And there's one spot that I didn't notice the first time that I loved. The Materi get the heat on Taylor for a bit, and then he fights out, and then he just goes to Bryce and says, "Get out of my way," and Bryce goes, "I'm not in your way," and then Chuck just rolls and tags out to Gargano. And I don't know why that amused me so much, because Bryce is right, he wasn't in Chuck's way. Chuck just wanted to say "get out of my way" to Bryce for apparently no reason, because Chuck Taylor's amazing.
He's had problems with Bryce in the past, and several. I mean, he's one of the few guys that Bryce has laid into on several occasions. physically, he has physically assaulted Chuck Taylor. I believe he may have dived onto him. He has slammed him. He's pushed him over. I remember at the beginning of one season, Chuck Taylor pushed him, and Bryce came back on the ropes and said, "No, sir," and shoved him right back. So they have a long and storied relationship, but it's really mainly just about Chuck Taylor being an annoyance and Bryce having zero tolerance for it, which being there live really made me appreciate all three Fist guys more as with live interaction. Again, they were in the second match of the show that I went to, and the bottom rope had broken off, so there was no bottom rope. And they spent most of the first couple minutes of the match, as they were preparing, remarking to the fans on how much better wrestling is without a bottom rope. With Gargano looking at Taylor at one point going, "I don't know why we don't do this all the time." And so every time they would leave the ring, they would sort of, make full use of a lack of a bottom rope by just almost sprawling out through it and just doing some weird, tuck out to the ring. And they all had the same look in their face, like, "This is way better. We should do this forever." It's little things like that you miss on DVDs. And it's little things like that that I will not got to be a part of the show, and I'm hoping there's a bunch of stuff like that so that my dad will have a blast.
Have I told you that Chuck Taylor is now my new favorite wrestler?
No, you have not, but that's, you'll have to fight me for him. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, he's the greatest. I mean, little things is what Chuck Taylor does. I also think he doesn't care anymore. I mean that, like, the best way possible is in this, like, he's more concerned about having fun and conveying that fun to fans and putting on good matches at the same time, more so than he is, like, being a super serious wrestler and doing all these other things, right? One thing that he did, I think it was night three. I want to say it was night three during Trios. It was before the match. I think the Envoy was getting a positive reaction, and Chuck just gets so mad that he storms off, grabs the cash box from Chuck Carson at the front door, and then just walks away. Just out of nowhere.
He tried to pull a Davey.
Oh, hey-o. Yeah, he's just the greatest. Or, like, I think it was during the Osaka match where, like, he gets sent to the outside and then just, like, ends up in, like, the fifth row just, like, cheering on Fist. Something like that. He's just fantastic. He'll just, like, wander over to the commentary table just to get in his 2 cents, like, during his match. He's wonderful.
Yeah, he does do that. He did that a lot. And, he needs to be on commentary all the time. What other amazing Chuck things is? Oh, whenever he starts that really long chant.
He doesn't do it that often anymore.
He doesn't. No, it's a rare thing. He busts it out. Not that often. It's like the quack and that's his version of the Quack and Driver 4.
Yeah,
is the inexplicably long chant.
Or it's like you know the Chuck Taylor clap.
Yes. Yeah. I've tried to get that going. Like while I was there, I just assumed I was like, okay, he's gonna do the clap at some point. And no, to no avail.
Well,
you know, DGUSA, of course. I was like, I know I've done it somewhere before. But no, yeah, I couldn't get that started because that was super seriousness.
Yeah, that's sort of the wrong crowd to do it for.
Right. That was during a blood feud.
Right.
Between the Blood Warriors, literally a blood feud, between the Blood Warriors and Ronan. I'm the one going, yeah!
Right.
It was not. Everyone's just looking at me like I'm crazy. So.
Well, the great thing is my friend was successful in getting that clap started in Easton for one of the nights. Because I was like, I wonder if people even still remember that clap. Because it's not like he does it with any regularity anymore. No. And sure enough, you get the Chikara faithful. They know exactly what you're doing, and they're right there with you.
No, he's at a point now where he's so good. Like a lot of people have like town to town bits that they do. He doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have like a thing that he does constantly. He has like this, just a cache, like a utility belt, much like Batman. He has just a utility belt. Of like really hilarious gags and things that he doesn't even need to rely on, that he just sort of uses whenever, and it keeps it fresh, it keeps it spontaneous, and again, every element of Fist works. I feel like we spend a lot of time on these shows just adoring Fist,
right?
To the point where it feels like we should be preliminary members at this point.
Hey, I would not turn that down. Better than Water Boys, anyways.
Sure.
Another Chuck Taylor moment from Trios that didn't really come through on the DVD. You see him do it, but you don't really hear it because it's the commentary and it's on the hard cam, so it's further away. But there's a match, a moment during the Osaka match where Chuck Taylor just goes, "Hey, Chuck Taylor, do a cool elbow drop." Okay. And then he just drops an elbow on, I think it's Taku Yakuda or whoever it is at that point. Just pretending like he's a fan yelling at Chuck Taylor to do an elbow drop. I don't know why that amused me, but he is, I think, consistently the guy I'm most entertained by in indie wrestling these days. Like we always say Generico's like the most consistent and greatest wrestler on the East these days, but man, Chuck Taylor is just never fails to amuse me.
Yeah, I mean, he and Generico putting on a match. I mean, you're just going to get, you know, they could literally put on a match and then start a whole new match again, and you get nine very different, very strange, very awesome matches.
If you could bottle whatever Generico and Taylor produce and people and sell it, you would end world peace.
You know what it is? It's just a genuine like love of what they're doing.
It's just euphoria. You know? It would be euphoria in a bottle.
Like I was talking like off air about the fact that guys like Randy Orton and Triple H are when they say they're like natural heels. They're miserable creatures. They're just wastes of energy and time. It's like you feel like they don't really care. Like when I see Randy Orton, there are times when I'm like, where is he right now? where would he, does it even matter? You hear like stories about him dealing with fans, you know, like I don't even say like interacting, dealing when it comes with him. And just how foul he can be dealing with him. And the same with these other guys. So it's just like this genuine love of what they're doing. That's all it is. It's just actually like actively playing the roles really well and liking and loving where they are. It's being happy. It's happiness. That's the infectious disease that people, you know, try to bottle and sell. And it's just sort of, I don't know, it leaks out of those guys' pores. You get a sense. I watched a video of El Generico in Russia with Matt Cross, where they were, it's not a PG video. So for those looking for PG content, I wouldn't go looking for it. But it's just a video of them running to like a Russian wrestler who was there and they knew him and like where they go eat. And even doing that, they seem like doing like really happily and bemused. And little things like that are just what I enjoy about wrestling. The little things, the little details, because if they care, you care. I mean, you can't not if they put that kind of time into it. So, yeah, that's really what that unbottleable element is. It's just happiness.
Yeah, I think some of those wrestlers get to the point, like when you start in a company, you want to work hard, you don't want to do anything that's going to piss somebody off because you either want to secure your spot or do something good, but then you either reach your comfort level or you reach a level where you're so ingrained in a storyline of the company that there's no way you're going to be let go if you just let loose a little bit, or you just stop caring and you're like get fed up with trying to appease the head honchos and the heads of the company, and you're just like, eh, whatever, I'm just gonna do what I want to do. That's what I feel like Batista did in his end of WWE run.
Yeah, we were talking about that.
Right.
Amazing.
But I feel like Chuck Taylor, and I was like, he's so ingrained Chikara, and he's part of, you know, he lives in Philly now and all that, and he feels like he's just as associated with Chikara as any of the other like graduates are. And he gets it, and he has fun there, and it comes through when you watch the DVDs and you're at live events. So I think we should probably end this long diatribe.
Well,
and just
no,
say,
there's one more point.
Okay,
And I think it has to do with expectation, because this might make total sense or just none at all. But I feel like wrestling promoters and wrestling fans all look at all wrestlers and say, "I want Bret Hart." And there's most indie guys, or a lot of indie guys, kind of when that finger comes down, kind of shrug and say, "I'd rather be Owen Hart." Like, do you know what I mean? Like, does that make sense? Like, I would rather be the guy clearly having fun, like clearly in a role that like fits me best, where I'm not like primed to put on 45-minute, you know, drudging. You know, I want to be the guy that has fun and has the same, you know, doing the same thing than the guy who's, you know, who gets all the acclaim, the best there is, best there was, you know, gets all the heavyweight championship belts. I feel like there's a lot of indie guys where I point to and go, this guy's Bret Hart. And in his mind, he just wants to be Owen Hart. He wants to have really great matches and not like a crazy, not under a crazy microscope.
Right, like they don't want to be the spokesperson for the company, but they want to work hard, do their thing, and then maybe have a beer after the show or something.
Right, like I would hear all these stories about, like, you can Google on YouTube, but you can search YouTube, and you can find all sorts of people with just ridiculous Owen Hart stories. This was a dude who just loved wrestling. I remember at first, like, one of the first stories I heard, like, backstage stories, was the British Bulldog talking about how Owen would get, like, he would just cheat. Like, some nights he just didn't feel like doing a mat technician, and he would wrestle bad intentionally. Like, he would like come off the rope sluggish, and like he would just sort of like trip over, like, you know, when they go and they lay down on the mat and you're supposed to jump over them. Like, he would just do it poorly just to amuse the guys in the back, just to sort of lift their spirits. And like all his headlocks were like these, like his arms were like way stretched out, like they could clearly get out of them. And like, that was my first sense of like wrestling isn't, you know, it can be this fun thing. And, I think more indie companies like Ring of Honor, I think there should be, less aspirations of Bret and more of what made Owen great, which was a dose of silliness and maybe a little heavier dose of creativity as well. like that sort of that cleverness that that comes with him when you watch a lot of his matches. So maybe that's just a more broad analysis than this particular match. But anyway, you're correct. We have gone on and on about this quite a long time.
Yeah. Well, so, now that you've espoused your philosophy of professional wrestling to all of our listeners, why don't we move on to match two finally?
Yes. Dry off. Pause, dry off. And then we'll come back here and we'll talk about the mysterious and handsome stranger. A man on a mission, he's running roughshod over Chikara right now. I mean, he's winning. He's doing it the right way, respectfully, with all sorts of legion of animals that he has at his stable. His bird. Why do I always forget the name of that bird?
Desire? Oh, no, that's the horse. It's Sapphire.
Sapphire. I always want to call the bird Mordecai. I think that is because of the Royal
Tenenbaums. Right. Great film, by the way.
I always want to call it Mordecai. But I've already forgotten the name of the bird.
Sapphire.
Sapphire. Shit. Okay. Sapphire. And then, yes, the horse is obviously named Desire. So he's been doing not only is he getting the attention of the fans, he briefly seemed like he caught the attention of Veronica at King of Trios.
Yes.
She seemed very smitten with him after a disastrous turn for Mr. Touchdown. And she, you know, she's just coming off. She just came off a relationship with, who was the guy, the leader of the band? I forget his name.
I don't know. It's been a while since I've seen him.
No, I don't remember.
Jughead something?
Rathford? Does Rathford sound right?
No.
No. Well, I forget it. All right, he was with some guy. He's gone now. Mr. Touchdown said, I remember really liking him a lot, but his name escapes me. So she joined with Mr. Touchdown. I was there together. And now, you know, here comes a mysterious and handsome stranger. And, you know, she's got wandering eyes here. So that's sort of an interesting development. But, you know, she's a woman who likes a winner. So
yeah, she's kind of floozy. Am I using – is that too strong language to use on the show?
I don't know.
Maybe not floozy, but maybe she just knows what she wants and she has a little to no BS tolerance.
She associates with winners. There are some people that that just have that need. They need to be associated, to be close to someone with success. And you're not going to find many more successful right now than the mysterious and handsome stranger. He is taking on Deviant. I don't think Deviant has a chance in this matchup. Not against the stranger. No, sir. I don't know. Do you feel any differently?
No. I think it's pretty clear the stranger will defeat Purple Ant. Also, Also, if I was more technologically savvy, I would have played Maneater by Hall & Oates underneath our discussion of Veronica. So just imagine it, people.
Yes, put it in there yourselves. Rewind it, re-listen to it.
And that's the Hall & Oates version, not the Hall & Oates song, not the Nelly Furtado song, just to clarify.
There's a Nelly Furtado, is it a version of their song?
No, it's a completely different and not as good song.
Oh, no, yeah.
Not that Maneater's a classic or anything, but...
Well, that's a discussion for a different day. so we're in agreement on that. So we're moving on to another fake ant. It's a Salant, who is that aforementioned member of the colony, who is just sort of plugged into the group with Green Ant and Fire Ant, who he's teaming with here. So it's Fire Ant and a Salant, and they'll be taking on a duo that they seem like they're in some trouble. Jacob Hammermeyer was having a lot of success in the Young Lions Cup tournament, and he was looking for encouragement from his mentor, the man who he's been at his side for a very long time now, Tim Donst. And Donst, ever since he lost his hair in a match against Hollow Wicked, he's not been the same man. He has been going on and on, telling Hammermeyer, you need to get out, that wrestling is this business that it brings you down, man. You know, get out while you can, you know. And Hammermeyer's just looking for encouragement. Well, Donst took it a step further, and he really caught, I mean, he cost Hammermeyer a chance at the Young Lions Cup. And they've had trouble ever since. So since that time, Donst, who is still in a funk, took it upon himself to call out Eddie Kingston. which usually signifies that you're, you know, you're getting your tombstone ready, because that's not a guy you call out. Donstfields has decided to turn his sorrow, that knife in his stomach that he felt like he just couldn't remove, that was the wrestling business. He's pulling it out, and he's sticking it in the back of Eddie Kingston, because he believes Kingston does everything wrong with wrestling. He believes that Kingston is a guy that gets things handed to him, and is, you know, that the wrestling business rewards sycophants and all those types of things. Lunacy when we're talking about Eddie Kingston, a guy that has probably never been afforded an opportunity in his life for free without there being something attached to it. So he's decided to gauge that little war. Sans Hammermeyer so far. So we have Fire Ant and Assailant who aren't liking each other. Donson Hammermeyer that are having some trouble. What?
It's a fine question. And there's a couple things that I see here. A lot of what you mentioned. Donce now seems to be preoccupied with what he has been referring to on Twitter as his grand plan, which I can only assume is to usurp Kingston of that grand championship at some point and take the title for himself and sort of try to rebuild the professional wrestling industry as he sees fit. But does that mean Hammermeyer can stick around then, if that's the case? He's been telling him to get out and you don't want the cup, but could that just be because he doesn't want Hammermeyer to outgrow him, or he needs him by his side? It seems like Hammermeyer's getting subtly a little more tired of Donce's act, because, and you'll see this when you watch the promo before the tag gauntlet on night 3, Donce has a little bit of his swagger back to him now. It seems like he's not completely back. He's still a little crazy, but you definitely get a little bit of that arrogance from him still. So it seems like he's getting his group back a bit now that he's a little more confident about his grand plan. I mean, he took down the grand champion with an STO when Kingston charged at him. That's pretty big. So now that he seems to have a goal in mind, it seems like he's a little more clear in what he needs to do. But does that mean that he's willing to let Hammermeyer still be an equal or someone under his tutelage, or where's that going to go? And of course, Assailant seems like he wants to be in the colony, but Fire Ant doesn't really want to have anything to do with him. So I can see this going a couple of ways. Either Donce can attack Hammermeyer or leave him for dead, and then the colony gets a win, and maybe that's something for Assailant to point to be like, see, we do work out as a team. Or maybe Donce gets a pin and, hey, that's great for him, more momentum for him towards his goal of Eddie Kingston. Or perhaps Hammermeyer pins Fire Ant, a former Young Lions Cup champion, and between that and his singles victory against Jigsaw gives him some credibility towards getting a shot against whoever the Young Lions Cup champion is after this evening. So I can see it going one of those ways. I guess I should probably state what I think is going to happen. I think for the sake of what I think is most interesting, Hammermeyer pinning Fire Ant is what I'd like to see. But I think out of all those options, I don't know, that might be the least likely of them. What do you think?
Yeah, I would say so too. Most interesting, least likely. I think there's still more. For me, it's about definition. I think that the funny thing is that they're both on the same footing. They're, now that they've established the roles and they've sort of played them out, Fire Ant and Assailant being reluctant partners, within the colony, the whole colony not really getting along, and the Donson Hammermeyer personally not getting along. The thing is that Fire Ant and Assailant seem to, something has to give in this match. Since they supposedly have to team together for some reason, and Donson Hammermeyer don't have to team together, it makes more sense to me that that's the one that gets exploited first. I see Assailant pinning, Hammermeyer. The idea being that maybe he and Fire Ant actually do show some chemistry. And Hammermeyer looks bad in defeat. Again, maybe drawing the ire of Tim Donst and, further, maybe Donce just outright shoves him into Assailant, and that leads to the pinfall. There's a lot of things you can do there. I think it ends up with Hammermeyer losing.
It's kind of what I felt too. I don't know. I just saw Hammermeyer and Fire and put that together in my head, though. I'm not calling that or anything, but it's something to think about.
Indeed. Now there are 3 matches on this show that I am really, really, like, truly to my core disappointed that I'm going to miss. These other matches, I mean, they look fun, but I'm like, oh, you know, I can get some enjoyment. You know, I can still enjoy them on DVD and everything else. And for some reason, this is the first one. Frightmare, who has looked, I have to admit, when he came back, I thought he looked like he was missing more than a step. He was missing several steps. He's looking healthier and healthier as time go by. He is looking more and more like the guy that left. He'll never be the same. I mean, that much is clear. That speed and spring, a little bit of that is gone. It's kind of a Jimmy Jacobs thing, where when Jacobs, like, when he just, like, shattered his knee, he had to come up with a new style. He had to wrestle differently. So Frightmare's kind of relearning how to wrestle a different style. Less, you know, craziness and more sort of, you know, in-ring creativity. I've been really impressed by him here. So Frightmare is going to go one-on-one with Cobalt, the third member of the Batiri mentioned earlier. So obviously this goes back to that feud of the Envoy versus the Batiri that's been going on for a very long time now and hasn't slowed down. It's still interesting to me, actually. I like that they're just waging this constant war that, you know, for whatever reason, I'm perfectly fine with them doing that. And it helps that they've never had this match before. Frightmare has never faced Cobalt one-on-one. Now, why is this a big deal? First of all, it's a first time ever matchup. That should, you know, tell you something. Cobalt is in a much better standing now, especially having, you know, he picked up a big win himself. He picked up a pinfall win in King of Trios. So that's, I mean, that was a big deal. He's had some success this year in varying degrees. And Frightmare has beaten his cohorts, Oberyn and Kodama, and in fact beaten them in the very same scenarios with the Young Lions Cup on the line as the champion before last, defending it successfully against both guys. So now no cup on the line, nothing but really but pride here. This is Frightmare going for, you know, pitting every single member of the Batiri one-on-one, being able to say that. And this is Cobalt reasserting himself, perhaps trying to get that elusive shot at the Young Lions Cup that was originally denied by Anthony Stone several months ago after getting upset in the tournament. So a lot at stake here. My instinct tells me that this is going to be, this is Cobalt's match to lose. I think he's got this one. What are you thinking?
Wait, Cobalt's match to lose and he has the match?
It's his match to lose because I think he's got in the bag. I think he's got this. I think he is going to win the contest.
Oh no, I think Frightmare's going to win. Mostly because of the same reason for the Batiri winning, going into war against the Envoy the next night. I think Frightmare's going to beat Cobalt, or else he goes in a loser against the Batiri against his match in the Batiri, and that don't make no sense.
Interesting. Yeah, I really feel like that's with Cobalt, I think there's still a singles, a design singles push there for Cobalt, and I don't know. I don't know how much Frightmare needs a win here, or I don't know. Like I really feel like Cobalt gets the victory here. So it's interesting that we're staunchly different corners on this one.
I just think it's weird for, like, them to win King of Trios and then he loses a singles match to Cobalt. Like, really? Seems odd. There could be Ophidian shenanigans or something in there, I guess. But
that, you know, I sort of consider that. Also, you know, Frightmare didn't pick up a pinfall, did he, in King of Trios? I
believe it was
two for Mantis and one for Hollow Wicked in the finals.
True. Though I think, wait, there's four falls total.
Oh, yeah.
I still don't think Frightmare got one.
No, I don't either.
But regardless, he does have that hurt leg that they worked over for a lot of the tournament too. So
yes, what they obliterated during that tournament, which was totally unnecessary and rude. And yeah, he did not get one. Ultramantis got the first like three off of various things, and then it was finally Hollow Wicked that did the deed.
I'm really glad they named that Safari Stretch Double Stomp, by the way.
Yes, that's a permanent part of their repertoire. So,
it's awesome.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. One thing that we forgot to mention for the Baterio Fidian against Fist match that we got too lost in our Chuck Taylor love to mention. I bring this up because we're talking about the Baterio in this match. Don't forget that Ophidian and Dungerton had issues during their match back in Massachusetts when Ophidian spit the mist in his eyes and all that. So, and then he ended up losing that match. So I'm sure Dungerton's probably still not happy with that transaction.
They've had some not pleasant things to say about one another. So, that'll continue that feud too. So lots of feuding and fighting. So we move on to a match that there's not a whole lot that I don't think either one of us have to say about this. In Chikara, there have been a lot of showcase matches. Some good, some fart noise. It's really, for whatever reason, it seems like it's a tough environment to make a really good impression. NWA Pro South is having Kyle Matthews, a guy that I know. I've seen him wrestle. I actually think he's really talented. I think he's one of those guys that in a couple of years, some people leave. You know, like how the guard changes. Some guys retire. Some guys get the WWE, and it's just there's like a reshuffling. I think he'll be one of those guys to rise to the top. Kyle Matthews, that is. He's taking on Ace Haven, who I'm told is not a girl.
I've been told nothing about him, so I can't confirm or deny that.
I'm looking at the photo here on Chikara's website, and I'm thinking, I'm thinking I haven't seen Lord of the Rings in a really long time, because he looks dead on like Legolas, and I'm thinking, dude looks like a lady. That's all I'm saying. But the good news about this is they are very familiar with one another. And they've apparently had some matches in the past. So I'm hoping this is really good. I'm hoping I actually have some level of expectations for this. It's not just going to be, guys showing up and doing stuff. I think they can have a good match. Hopefully they don't. I don't know what advice to give. Like people coming into Chikara about how to get over with fans or not get over with fans, or do you play the Chikara game? Do you do some comedy? Do you have some lightness, or do you just try to both go out and just throw bombs? How do you get over with the Chikara crowd when you're two indie guys just looking to impress the indie community?
I would say just do what you do. Like I know some people were talking about. I guess question, like, do you think 3.0 will get ever in Ring of Honor? Like, or do they need to wrestle Ring of Honor style? And I said, whoever in Ring of Honor decided to bring 3.0 in didn't bring them in to be something they're not. Like, somebody didn't watch 3.0 and say, wow, they're good. I bet if we bring them in and change their style, they're going to be great. You know what I mean? Like, right. They brought in 3.0 to be 3.0. So I would assume these guys aren't coming into Chikara Sight Unseen. In fact, I know Kyle Matthews isn't coming in Sight Unseen because he was in Chikara in the Young Lions Cup 6. He lost to Lince Dorado in the first round. So you're not going to bring in these guys and be like, come in and do these goofy things. I would just say, come in and do what you do.
Yeah, I would say so as well. You don't try to do anything that isn't in your wheelhouse.
But... I'll say as a fan, I would feel annoyed if I felt like I was being catered to. You know what I mean? Like if these people are like, oh, it's goofy, so I'm going to purposefully go out there and be goofy. Just to try to get the fans on my side, I'd be a little annoyed by that.
It depends on how it's handled. Because a problem for me with these matches is that they don't feel like parts of the show. It's like, it's the spotlight part. Everyone, we can all sort of be less interested and quiet because this has no bearing on storylines or anything else.
Right.
By the way, any chance the Devastation Corporation shows up and just murders both of them?
Oh, I'd say there's definitely a chance. In fact, I hope that happens.
Because I was like, it doesn't have any part of the show, or does it?
I would say the outside chance of that happening are pretty high.
I like Kyle Matthews too much. And actually, the funny thing is, I've seen them team. So, this could easily turn into a tag match. God, if that happens, I deserve a hat. that says you are a smart dude.
Hey, whatever happened to Chase Owens? I really like what I saw of him against that other.
He had a jacket. Guy. I mean, he had a Chikara jacket. He was a fan. So I don't know what happened.
I remember him and Elgin had a tag match. In Ring of Honor. It was them against, I think, Coleman and Alexander that I really liked too. The future looked bright for that guy, and then he just all but disappeared.
Yeah. I don't know. You really gotta. That's what I'm saying. You gotta really make an impression. I think you sort of, like do something to acknowledge you're in Chikara to get, like Kyle Matthews comes out dressed as a clown. And is really confused why Ace Haven isn't like dressed up as a clown. And he's like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "What are you doing?" And he goes, "Wait, this is Chikara. I was told I'm supposed to come out in a costume." And Ace goes, "I didn't get that memo." And he's like, so he's like just angrily taking off like a series of garments. You can even do the trick, you know how you have like the ribbon that never ends? Like he's doing that, getting out of the pocket and like just like angrily. So you've done something to acknowledge you're in a silly place. You've set the atmosphere. And you can still just do your match right after. I mean, nothing has to change. I think they need to do things like that. Integrate, do something small, you know, kind of like when you're doing a spinoff series from a TV show, you know, like at least one or two of the characters show up in the pilot of the other show just to be like, well, see ya, like do that, you know, like link them together so that it's part of the show. Because I don't like seeing these. And it's just like, Chikara is going to take a brief intermission. Here's NWA Pro South. You know, like,
sure.
I don't like that they do that. I think they should do. I really feel strongly about this that they should do something to sort of tie it together. Whether it involves the Devastation Corporation murdering people, it's up to them.
I was kind of expecting us to spend maybe 15 seconds on this match.
So did I.
Here we are, you rambling about things.
I can make something out of anything.
That's true.
It sounds blasphemous, but
so I assume we're both picking Kyle Matthews because we know who that is.
That's really the reason. Yeah, and he's smiling brighter in his picture.
So. Truth.
And he's bearded. So. Oh no! This is my show. Quiet. Okay. So the next match.
Our show.
Okay. This is my the show that I'm going over, the Alabama show.
Oh, my apologies.
Gran Akuma is a person that I've never seen live. If I did, I'd insist on telling him how silly his face looks. The man has a silly, silly face.
He's also terrifying, so I don't think he would do that.
I would. I totally would. I don't think he's that terrifying. I really don't. He cut a promo in the last, I think it's like the Event Center or whatever show it is. I really enjoyed it. It wasn't Akuma going like snarling, like meh. It was him just like stating things matter-of-factly. I liked that way more. That felt like natural, you know, like right in his wheelhouse. And I actually
it sounds like how
promo.
He sounds on Twitter.
It's just like talking, you know, like he is already sort of like this. Maybe there is an intimidation factor because he does look kind of crazy. He just like cut a promo. I actually really liked the promo. It was just him saying, "I'm gonna, you know, show up," and like the way he talks, like this rolling. He talks like a beach, you know, like just like it's.
Oh my god! Get
strange.
On with this match.
I'm just saying. I really like. I'm more sold on. I used to really hate Gran Akuma. I used to.
And now you don't. Hooray! Moving on.
Rip him pretty hard. Oh, he's facing the Shard, who we've never heard speak.
Correct.
Other than angrily grunt.
Yes.
Akuma's got to win this, right?
You know, anytime I see the Shard on the other side of the ring, I just feel like it's a foregone conclusion he's going to lose. You know what I mean?
I mean, he's dying the next night.
I feel like I see the Shard come on the other side of the screen, and like, it's like everyone's like, you know? Like it just sort of like dies. Or it's almost like he comes out and people like kind of like snicker and laugh because they know he's just going to lose. And so, yeah, so I think Akuma's going to win here.
That's a terrible place to be in, but
Speaking of, you know what, I feel like the Shard's, like, really underrated as, like, a wrestler. Like, there's this match he had with Kingston a couple shows ago, I think, in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I had no expectations for whatsoever and really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I mean, of all the all five Gekido members, he was the only one that ever made an impact on me at all. So everyone else, I thought, can lose you just fine. So, it's kind of a shame that his Mike Quackenbush is going to kill him.
Yeah, he's corn like the clown of the Gekido.
Yeah, it's sort of a shame, and that's not going to leave many Gekido members left. They're going to have to like place assailant in witness protection.
What about Deviant? Was he chop liver?
I just assumed he was next.
Maybe. Oh, so you have the fat blue guy left to be taking.
Well, there's no one to protect a Deviant. Assailant, the colony may step in. Maybe they finally step in and go, okay, you know what? You've gone too far. We're working with this guy. Listen, he's had some anger problems. We got this the wrong way.
Well, hold on. We couldn't talk about this on the next show?
I guess. I don't know. I forgot what was on the next show. But yes, we'll totally talk about it on the next show.
Okay, so Akuma wins. Moving on.
Spectral Envoy. They have 2 points, right?
Yes.
2 points! And they have little King of Trios medallions. So how do you like them? It's Ultramantis and it's Hollowigan. They're taking on Los Ice Creams. Wackiness will down. I've never seen Los Ice Creams. I'm really jealous that I'm missing this match. The Envoy win here. Of course they do.
Yeah. Envoy win, get 3 points, challenge the Bucks, the team they defeated but did not pin in the finals of King of Trios, and title shot, and awesome match, and good times. Also, I would like officially say that the 8-man comedy match on night 3 of King of Trios 2012 usurped my previously favorite comedy match in Chikara, which was Los Ice Creams versus the Olsen Twins.
Wow. I mean, that's really... I was just talking about that match today, showing it to my roommates. Wow. That's... You really got me jacked for the show.
So. Right? Yeah. I don't think that one will disappoint. But yeah, no, that one... That's one. I think the Los Ice Creams Olsen match is another one of those matches that sold me on Chikara as a whole. Because I'm like, yeah, good wrestling characters, I like this, but really, what's it all about? And then you watch that match and you're like, okay, that's what this company is about. I need more of this.
Yeah, just phenomenal, phenomenal stuff. And I expect them to lose here. But main event time. We move on to a bona fide main event. I have not seen a title match in Chikara. I have not been a part of it. So I'll be missing on that. My dad will get to see that, and he'll get to see Mr. Touchdown make his first defense of the Young Lions Cup against anything but a rollover first defense. Green Ant is going to be challenging. He was not in the tournament this year, the Young Lions Cup tournament. He was in last year, came in second. And now he is he's taking on Mr. Touchdown. And I want to say that, you know, he's going to defend it. You know, defend the Young Lions Cup the first time out, but Green, that's such a tough first defense. I don't know. What do you think?
It'd be a little too out of nowhere for Green Ant to just win the cup here. I mean, it wouldn't shock me. I mean, Green Ant is like the other guy on the roster who like could be Young Lions Cup champion aside from Angelo Setti, and it's happened before. You know, Fire Ant lost the cup in his first defense, so could happen here. And you also have the thing we were talking about, how Veronica likes a winner, and she already has her eyes on another guy. If Angela Setti loses here, then it gives her more credibility to leave him and go to greener pastures, so to speak. see what I did there? You know, he just defeated Mike Quackenbush at Wrestling is Fun this past weekend. And I think there's more with the tension between Hatfield and Veronica that hasn't paid off quite yet.
Right.
So I think they're going to want to keep the cup with Angelo Setti to sort of further that along.
I'd have to agree as well. I mean, I could see them pulling the trigger on something big in this event. So if I find out Green Ant won the cup, I'm not going to be like blown away. But I'm gonna say Mr. Touchdown retains in V1 here in his first defense. It's just a good time to go over my Green Ant complaint, or should we save that for later?
I think now's a perfect time. I guess he is on the next show in a trios match, but no, this is your spotlight to go over your Green Ant complaint. I'll drop the mic and let you go for it.
Sure. Well, it's part of a larger theme that, you know, that we go over on a regular basis, which is this is the segment we like to call "What's Going On with the Roster Page." I know you had a few things, but there was a big thing for me was that Green Ant is, he has now been in wrestling, it appears, 3 years. it is listed on the roster page, and his the name that he has next to him is Resilient Rookie. 3 years is it's a little long to be called rookie. I think it's I don't know. I don't like it. I think we can do better, and I think I have done better in several capacities. I came up with four names here that I think truly, I think they work well here. And you have to understand the Green Ant character as well to really appreciate them. So are you ready for them?
Let's do this.
All right. So the first one, and they're all, you know, I hope you're up on your synonyms for the color green. So we have the Viridian Submission Machine.
I like it.
That's number one. We have the Kermit-colored Cloverleaf Connoisseur.
Okay.
Right? All yeah, right. Now we're going to change it up here. We're going to do something just a little literal, you know, if we want to go the jokey route, you just put the ant, .. who is green.
Okay.
The green ant is the ant who is green.
I like that because it's funny because I remember someone I'm like explaining the colony to them, like, oh yeah, there's fire ant. He like, you know, he's energetic and he's obviously like red, like a fire ant. He's kind of in your face and he has all these moves named after fire things. And there's soldier ant. He acts kind of like this guy he's in the army and does all these other things. And then there's green ant. He's green. Yeah.
Yes.
so that to me sort of like, yeah, he's the ant.
Right, who is really green? It's tough to, because he's a lot of things, and that goes into the last name, my favorite name. He is a green ant. He is, you know, like I was saying, a connoisseur of submissions. He has a lot of really nasty ones, but also he is American. He believes in America. So my personal vote is Green Ant, the Emerald Patriot of Pain.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah, those are all good, and so, certainly far better than the Resilient Rookie, which is
yes,
outdated. It makes me cringe a little just to say it.
Yes, that's so 2010.
So 2009.
Yeah, even further. So, well, I guess it would still... No, forget it. One of those four, Chikara, plug it in there. Everyone will love it.
Or you know what? You know, Justin, like, even I'll say this, like, forget those four, put it to anything that's not the Resilient Rookie.
pretty much anything at this point that's not the Resilient Rookie.
You can even do Green Ant. No longer a rookie.
Yes,
and I'll be satisfied.
Yeah, that works out just fine. Still no, resilient.
Yeah, no longer a rookie, comma, yet still resilient.
Yes. So, yeah, that works just fine. So what were your... You also had some grievances with the roster page.
Yeah, why is Sugar Duncan on in the Fist affiliation anymore? Because it's like, you might as well tell me, like, oh, yeah, this is affiliation isn't going to last long. And it's not that hard. Just type it there. Fist.
Or you just like moving them around. You know?
Oh, they don't even need to move him around because he's still a Technigo. I just want affiliation Fist there.
Yeah. Now, here's another thing that we should. We'll mention it on the next show, but it has to do with the roster page. But I'll tackle that when we get to it.
It's not a Viva Chikara episode if we don't gripe about the roster page.
Right, and as always, when you listen to the show and meander over the roster page and see the litany of eye-popping, gorgeous changes that we've forced the company to make, you're welcome.
I'm not even going to touch that. But I will touch this next card that we need to discuss.
You're going to touch it?
In a way. Touch it, fish it around, see if I can
I think you're the mega climax.
What? Anyways. The Zodiac Crimes in Gibsonville, North Carolina. No longer in Burlington. That was the city they used to run. So don't go to that building if you bought tickets to the shows. Go to the right place.
You said both those cities like they were filthy in your mouth.
It is North Carolina.
Terrible.
No, Gibsonville reminds me of James Gibson, who's an unsavory character according to Brad and Jake.
Oh my.
He apparently stayed at their place. I think it was when Jimmy Jacobs was living with them. I think it was when him and Kid Cash were in WWE. Okay. And just, like, were rude, and they apparently, like, stole all their beer and left. If I remember correctly.
Maybe he just doesn't break character. Maybe he's,
maybe. He just, we talk about guys like Davey Richards having a Napoleon complex. I mean, holy crap. I mean, James Gibson, his name should definitely be on that list, from what I understand.
Thanks for the bed, steals beer, leaves forever.
For real, yeah. him and Kid Cash, that's just a walking Napoleon complex waiting to explode. But anyways, enough about gossip of former WWE wrestlers, current agents. Let's talk about some women's wrestling, Justin. Saturine against Amber O'Neil. I know nothing about Amber O'Neil. I've heard the name. I know she was one of the scene's whores in the Dragon Gate USA Miami shows. But aside from that, I don't know anything about her. So I think Saturine's going to win.
She has an unfortunate resume, it sounds like.
In my brain, anyways, I'm just like, oh yeah, it's that blonde chick who like looked like she was about to get assaulted by the scene in Miami. Great. That's all I know about her.
So let's bring her into our PG company.
Precisely. And Lucy Saturday.
I don't
know
anything about her. I really don't. So other than...
I'm sure she's nice.
I briefly thought Saturine was going to be fighting the reporter and friend to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
April O'Neil.
Right. Not the same person. So...
God, if yes. only.
Yeah. So then I meant to do research on Amber O'Neil. And I just end up watching a lot of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So
who can blame you?
Saturine wins.
So Saturine wins, and Amber O'Neil has Bebop and Rocksteady in her corner.
Yes, absolutely.
God bless you if you understood that reference. The mysterious and handsome stranger is so smug and so confident in his abilities that he has an open challenge on this show, accepting of all comers from presumably the southern area. I believe that's what he tried to specify in his video in the event center the other day. So, yeah, an open challenge. Justin, do you have... I don't have a clue. I have literally no guesses who it could be. Have you given us any thought and have any idea who could be accepting the challenge?
The video stopped playing. So what specifically did he request when I tried to watch it the other day? It stopped.
I'm not sure. I think he said, like, oh, you know, like, I've had some troubled times in the Carolinas in the past, and I know there's some unsavory characters down there, so I defy anybody from that area to come and accept my challenge. Something along those lines. Talk about his bird name, Sapphire.
Boy. Yeah,
that whole thing.
The Devastation Corporation.
Yeah, we know. I knew that was coming for some reason. By the way, best names in wrestling.
It'd be great if they just, like, throughout, there was just, like, big joke throughout indie wrestling that there were just a bunch of open contracts and the Devastation Corporation answered all of them.
If that could be, like, an indie wrestling just rib, that'd be fantastic.
Yes, and they never, like, it never led to anything. They never came back to companies.
No.
They never, like, got anything.
For some reason, all the companies decided to work together on this one common goal.
To get over the Devastation Corporation.
Even they could show up in, like, Union Pro in Japan.
Perfect.
Just to squash people.
Yes.
But Sydney Bacabella has to be with them.
If it's someone southern... wait, who were we talking about before? Chase Owens. That's it.
Ooh, I like that.
Because remember he said troubles in the, it wasn't Carolina, it was in Tennessee where he fought him. But,
Wait. The Mysterious Handsome Stranger was not on the Tennessee show.
Yeah, I was thinking of somebody else.
Are you insinuating something?
No, I, straightens tie. Let's move on to the next match.
You are a kayfabe breaking bastard.
I don't know what you mean. It was a slip of the brain.
Yeah,
and we're clearly moving on now.
Two more Vavasorian trios are going to lock up. By the way, if we didn't mention this, all three of Wink's teams lost in the first round of King of Trios. Both Ant teams fell and the Akuma 3.0 team fell. So clearly, Wink Vavasor's system is flawed. And despite all that, he's going to be stubborn and keep these teams together as Fire Green Ant and Assailant take on Icarus, Chuck Taylor, and Sugar Dunkerton. We've already pontificated that the Colony seems like they could possibly come out of this for the better in finding a new partner in Assailant, or at least growing to not hate him, and how Sugar Dunkerton's been having more issues with Fists lately than getting along with them. So I guess it's safe to say the Colony will probably win here.
To continuing that thing that I mentioned prematurely, which is Assailant seeking asylum in the Colony. I just imagine, like, Quack running after him and him screaming, "Sanctuary!" You know, like, trying to stay with the Colony. First of all, Vavasorian is just, it's poetic. And the only bad part is that we really shouldn't. Wink needs to go.
We should not be romanticizing Wink's.
No, it's bad. I've said it before, and I will say it again. Math is stupid. So
that's something everybody can get behind.
Right. Yes. That's a universal, always a baby face. The concept of math being evil and stupid and overrated. Yeah. Colony win here.
All right. And then we have a tag team match, points in play. And that's important here. The Throwbacks, Dasher Hatfield and Mark Angelicetti. They had a tag title match a couple months ago against the Young Bucks. They had successfully racked up 3 points, got themselves a title match, and they lost. And Angelicetti then went on to win the Young Lions Cup. He went ahead and he beat the 1-2-3 Kid via nefarious means, but he won nonetheless. And it seems to be the more successful of the two Throwbacks. So now maybe he feels like a little more confident, and him and Dasher are going to try to climb that ladder again, try their hardest to get 3 points once more and go to another title shot. Currently they sit at 0 and they oppose the Bravado Brothers, who are the home team in this as they are North Carolina natives, and they have 2 points. Ergo, if they defeat the Throwbacks, they have 3 points and get a title shot because of it. I think you see where I'm going here, Justin. The Bravados, I think, are going to win here. They're going to put their title shot in their back pocket and cash it against the Young Bucks later. And maybe they'll be coming off a loss or a win to 3.0 the night before. They're going to be in Ring of Honor facing each other. So keep your eyes on that match. But in Jakara, I think they're going to defeat the Throwbacks, get their 3rd point, have a title shot, and the Throwbacks will continue to not get along.
Yeah, I got to say that's seeming pretty darn likely. That'll be a good match, too. That'll be a great title match between the Bravados and... And who knows? I mean, listen, Wink's nuts. He might decide to do this in one match. So it might be Bucks versus Bravados versus Envoy when all is said and done, because he's crazy. But I definitely see the Bravados getting the win here.
If he has patience and he lets Marty Jannetty and 1-2-3 Kid get another point, then we could have 4-way fun times with tag teams.
Which is what it should be called.
Is the 4-way fun times.
4-way golden fun times.
I like it too.
Either way. Bravado's definitely win here.
So Grant Akuma and Cobalt are going to have a singles match. And you're probably like, Kevin, why are they having a singles match? That's strange. And I say, au contraire, mon frere. And that in the first round of King of Trios, the Batiri met 3.0 and Akuma in a trios match. And Akuma fell to Cobalt's Demon's Toilet, to lose that match. And so this is Akuma's chance for vengeance on Cobalt, and I think he's going to get it.
Really?
Oh. Yeah. Why not?
I feel like Cobalt's winning here. I don't know if I'm just like backing Cobalt.
Yeah, someone's a big Cobalt fan.
I guess. Yeah, I'm not even he does some things that I really, really like. I think he's still green, but I do like him. So I guess so. I guess I'm on the Cobalt bandwagon. Yeah, Cobalt here for me.
Maybe I'm just in the Akuma bandwagon because I picked him for both shows, too.
It's a Cobalt weekend for me.
That sounds like a terrible weekend.
No, yeah, it's not a lot of fun. He enjoys it, though. He enjoys everything. He's just laughing and enjoying himself.
You know it's not going to be a good time? Huh. When two teams who really don't want to team have to meet with each other. So Donson and Harrowmeyer are teaming again on this show too. And you know how they had to face an ant team that doesn't get along on Fire and Assailant on your show? Well, on this show, they have to face another ant team as they take on Soldier Ant and Deviant of the Swarm. So again, same scenario, Donson and Harrowmeyer. Maybe they don't get along so well, and Soldier and Deviant really don't get along, so I actually do think Don Stammer are going to win here. And who knows, they could end up with 2 points begrudgingly as they leave this weekend. Maybe Don's realizes his grand plan is to hold all the gold in Chikara. Or maybe him and Hammer don't even get a 3rd point, but that's possible. They defeat 2 ant teams and leave the weekend with 2 points in play. And even though we seemingly said Assailant was going to win that first match, I see the first match being the first ant versus Don Stammer match. I think Don Stammer win this one.
I just calculated it. On these two shows, there are 7 matches that are above a solo contest, like 2-on-2, 3-on-3. 5 of them feature teams that don't have a member that like don't get along with one another.
Yeah.
Like are actively having some problems internally. Only two of them feature like teams that are pretty solid. And then this one being one that, you know, they're not on good footing. I don't know. I think that, not to give away too much of the next matchup, but I think Mike Quackenbush interferes here and feasts on the blood of Deviant.
Hmm. All right. Maybe not.
That's my official prediction. Mike Quackenbush sucks the blood out of Deviant's body.
He just comes on, like, bites his neck, and just, like, the crowd is just absolutely horrified.
Yeah, like, deep into a meaningful contest, too. Like, clearly, he's, like, 23 minutes in.
Maybe they're just, like, locking up where he's, like, he has an arm bar on that mat or something, and Quack just, like, casually strolls to the ring, and Deviant's like, oh, hey, what's up? Ah, oh, God. Oh, God, what are you doing?
And that's it. Like, Soldier, like he just keeps saying, no, sir. No, sir. Just shaking in the corner. This is a we've gone to a dark place.
And the referee's like, DQ, I guess?
yes, DQ via death.
oh, man, so. that's grody. Yeah, sure.
And then Quack wipes the blood off and gets ready for his contest.
By the way, TNA has been known in the Russo days to have a lot of teams that just don't get along. Let's not get to that point in Jakar. There's a lot of teams that don't get along. We get it. Teams don't get along.
Yeah, buddy up. Go back to the buddy system. I liked the old buddy system.
It was a good system. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gave me a good segue, and I just poo-pooed it away.
Whatever.
I've done that before. Mike Quackenbush is taking on the Shard in a singles match. He's on a quest to get all the Gekido members out of Chikara. He's done it to 17, their leader. He's out of Chikara. He did a combat at King of Trios. He's out of Chikara, and it looks like the Shard is the next one for him to cross off his list. And will it be easy? Probably. It is the Shard, after all. So Quackenbush maims Shard, and he's out of Chikara after this match. Yay?
I mean, I don't see this any other way unless it's something absolutely crazy. I mean, Jigsaw's not on these shows. He's not going to be around to stop Quackenbush, so...
He might be.
I'm saying he's not booked for these shows, which I gotta tell you, if Jigsaw were to show up at my show and would not have been wrestling, I'll have been, and he's not like noticeably wimping or something, I will have been pretty ticked off. Maybe he'll, about missing that out.
Maybe he'll be like, maybe he'll be like Dennis Stamp that weekend, jumping on his trampoline. With weights because he's not booked.
No excuses. That's all I'll say about that.
No Eddie Kingston on these shows either.
They're missing some star power here.
Is Tommy Dreamer's House of Hardcore show this weekend?
Maybe.
Because I think Kingston's booked on one of them. Okay.
That doesn't seem an okay reason to miss it, but I guess. I don't know. It is just the South. We're used to it at this point.
It is just the South. I don't think Eddie Kingston gets along in the South.
No.
Just a hunch.
Yeah, he wasn't. I mean, we treated him pretty fairly last time he was here, I think.
I'm sure there's some football team or something down South that doesn't get along with the Giants.
Perhaps there was an incident.
I don't know.
We don't know about.
Maybe he still remembers the IWA Deep South days and doesn't want to get anywhere near that area.
Boy. Yeah. Well, then who can blame him?
Speaking of, did you see that girl from Honey Boo Boo is going to be in some indie show in Alabama?
I hate everything about what you just said.
The only reason I knew that is because someone had mentioned it on Twitter or something like that, and I looked at the card, and it was in Pell City, Alabama, which is where IWA Deep South ran a bunch of their shows.
Oh, man.
And I was like, imagine if Larry Sweeney were still around to have a promo off with Honey Boo Boo.
I really feel like... actually, that would be insanely entertaining. That's one of the best qualities about Sweeney was that he could turn any bucket of garbage into fried gold. If we lived in the Whedonverse, that would make it officially okay to declare that town a hellmouth. Like it really would.
Yeah, there you go. Speaking of things that may be a hellmouth, there are things that come from the Whedonverse. This main event, my God. So during King of Trios, Delirious gave the Batiri and Ophidian one mission, and that was to make sure the Spectral Envoy do not win King of Trios. They failed. They had the chance to take them out themselves in the second round. They did not. They tried to rectify things by having Ophidian spit mist in Ultramanus Black's eyes and to take out Frightmare's knee. They even tried to interfere in the main event, but they were thwarted because Crossbones, Mantis's most faithful ally, and he has to remain faithful forever, by the way. He can never turn on Mantis. Helped him out, and the Spectral Envoy won King of Trios. Well, the Batyri and Ophidians still have to carry out their mission somehow, and now they need to get some sort of vengeance on them for winning. So the Spectral Envoy of Ultramanus Black, Hallow Wicked, and Frightmare will take on Oberyn, Kodama, and Ophidian in the main event of this show. And it could be a heck of a match. Could be some really good wrestling and stuff going on here. I'd say the Envoy might win. I mean, I just have a feeling they're going to carry on their momentum from King of Trios and win here. But I don't suspect they're going to walk away without getting wounded somehow. Maybe they get attacked after the match again, or the Batyri do some serious damage. One thing that I want to point out that I don't think is getting enough notice, and I'm sorry, it's a little bit of a spoiler for you, Justin. On night three, when Crossbones comes out to save the day, he shoves Delirious off the ramp head first into the ring post, and he was knocked out in front of where I was sitting for about literally like 30 minutes, like the rest of the match. So I think his brains are going to get scrambled again, and we're going to get something else going on with Delirious. And it could be here. He could be at the show and maybe accidentally cost his team the match, something like that. But I think there's going to be another change to Delirious coming soon because of that head trauma he suffered at King of Trios. So keep your eyes out for that just in case this is the match where it happens. But I guess my official prediction is the Envoy win.
Yeah, it's very interesting that you say that. Yeah, I have to go with the Envoy here, too. I don't believe in... we got a similar main event last year when the Colony took on the what's it called?
The Batyri.
Who did they face? Amazing Red and Los Maximos. But was that before or after King of Trios?
That was after, but they faced the Batyri on the Carolina show right after Trios and won.
Okay, maybe that's what I'm thinking of. But here, I really feel like the Envoy are going to, after winning King of Trios, they're going to pick up the win here as well. Send the fans home happy. And the Delirious thing is very interesting. I only heard that as it's sort of the play on what happened to Crossbones. You know, that's how he broke his clavicle, getting sent into the ring post. So I'll be interested to see how that, if they've shown on DVD exactly what happened to him.
They do. Like Crossbones shoves him, and you can see Delirious clearly going head first into it and then crumbling. Like, he does not recover. He does not ever show up. He doesn't show up even after they win. Like, I think he had to be carried out or something by people. So he just gets knocked the F out. Just knocked cold, and his head goes in there. So it could be nothing. You're right. It could be a just sort of mirroring what Delirious did to Crossbone oh so many years ago. But I think it could be another brain scrambling moment for him.
That's fascinating. Well, I can't wait to find out which one it is, honestly, because that's yet another wrinkle in a very interesting feud that's been going on.
This is why you listen to this show, to get at things like that.
I don't see why not, other than to get Honey Boo Boo updates.
Oh, my God. The South Park this week is Cartman apparently becoming friends with Honey Boo Boo.
Oh, man. That is disastrous written all over it.
Oh, it's going to be great.
I'm excited. Yes, I want to go to there. So,
well,
presidential debates will be going on. So,
at the same time, what time are the debates?
9:00. So maybe it'll probably just go an hour. So that'll be fun.
Okay, cool.
Because I don't want to hear these clowns talk for more than an hour. Outrageous.
Neither do I. Oh, it's going to be so boring too, because you know they've prepared like ad nauseum for the questions and the topics.
I'm of the other mind. I'm kind of excited about this because to see if this Romney campaign really is as disastrous as it sounds. I'm the guy that's like, no, wait. It's like a bad storyline in wrestling where you're like, just wait for it. All this crap, it's going to pay off in the end. Don't worry. There's going to be a really good payoff. And there's just not. Like, I feel like I'm at that moment where I'm like, no. Romney's been slow playing it. Trust me. He's going to go on the attack. He's going to have like a full, like 30-page... 300-page packet that you can download immediately at like a website that he dictates to find his entire plan of action for his like to replace Obamacare or to even his economic plans. Like, I want to see some fire out of this guy before he inevitably sinks to the bottom of the ocean.
I'm more interested in the Paul Ryan, Joe Biden debate than the other ones. I'll probably watch all four, but
right,
I'm certainly more interested. And that was how I was in 08 with Biden and Palin too, obviously.
Well, that was interesting because, I mean, she was to see how what she would turn out to be. That, I mean, really, that was ended up just being bad, bad, disastrously bad. This one, I think, is going to be more interesting from just not like it's. But the last one I watched for the reason I watched NASCAR. You know, I wanted to see, you know, get ugly and things get set on fire. This one will be kind of interesting because I think there's going to be some, like, name-calling, and I think there's going to get some nastiness, and Paul Ryan, who is the most, he has the smuggest mug in Smugville.
True.
He's going to do some serious smugging that night, and I think he might just smug his own face off. But the presidential ones, to me, just because I want to know how, if this really is as disastrous a campaign as everyone seems to think it is, including myself, to see if that really is the case, or if we'll get some Russo-esque swerve, where it turns out it was him all along. He's the mastermind, and he's a brilliant tactician, and he's going to take the company into a new world order.
I don't think so, but we'll
the this company is, this, country not company
a country into the new world order. Spray, you'll just go knocking over like the ambassadors of other countries and spray paint USA in black spray paint on their back with the U and the A in lowercase letters and the S. And okay, now I kind of want him to win.
Just from that, that's how terrible we are. We'll take a country being having devastating poverty while the rich get richer under this plan. So long as they're acting like the NWO, like, we're
exactly. fine with that. Exactly. Which honestly is not remarkably unsimilar or dissimilar to what.
That's exactly. That's true. It's like, you sort of have to bite the bullet if you want this entertaining nonsense. So.
No, hold on. I guess they would have to spray paint GOP on the back of people, not USA.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. Then there would have to be some sort of uprising, but they would always get squashed. No matter what Democrat step forward.
Exactly.
They always get squashed in the end.
We just compared the Grand Old Party to the New World Order. Good for us.
Woo!
And on that lovely Unchakar related note, I guess we're going to wrap this show up.
Indeed.
Plugs, Justin.
No, it's my real hair.
I didn't mean... God damn it. You have a Twitter and
sorry, no, yeah, the pubic hair is real as well.
Do you do captions for your hair?
No, I don't.
You don't do captions for any website, apparently.
I don't do captions at all. Damn, I was I mean, depending on when you read this, listen worthy podcasting, I do those things for the Chikara special Tumblr blog things.
No,
Kevin
will
tell you about it in a second. I have a Twitter. My name's Justin J. Houston. Back to you, Kevin.
You need more Ryan Rosansky tweets. Or just more tweets in general, really.
Yeah, I haven't... I was doing the Ryan stuff. I forget what I was tweeting recently. It seemed depressing, so I stopped doing that.
Oh, by the way, I met Ryan Rosansky at King of Trios. He is exactly what you would expect.
Is he really?
Yeah, pretty much.
Does he have a hanky?
No. He seems like your typical naive teenage kid.
Really? Oh, okay. That's nice. I hope you had a good time together and you didn't get him in too much trouble.
No, he actually he won Billy Kumahara's quiz battle crisis thingamaru.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the question was like, it was either who is Ophidian or who is Satyrine facing tonight. It was on night three, and he got it right. And then he thought that would give him enough credence to start writing for the Chikara special. And then I put him in his place with some terrible insult, I'm sure.
And you filmed all this?
Sadly, no.
Ah, well, I'll have to imagine it.
We had enough interaction, maybe not enough interaction over the weekend. He was generally a pretty nice guy, though.
Well, that's good to hear. A good dude. I mean, he's always seemed like a nice guy, just,
He needs to stay off Twitter. You know what's funny is they actually, I think they listened to our podcast on the way to the show. And because Ryan and his friend were both like, Justin wasn't serious when he predicted Osaka Pro and the Bateria in the finals, was he? And I was like, dude, I don't know what he was thinking. I didn't think it was a good idea either, but Justin is Justin.
This tournament really, really threw me. Maybe that's why I'm enjoying it so much, is because I had no chance. Did we get retweeted and plugged and all that stuff like everyone else did this time around?
We did. We definitely did.
Good. Okay. So that was really what happened.
Well, I think maybe you complained and they said, okay, fine.
Maybe that's it. No. Clear evidence now. Last year we nailed it and we got ignored. This year, at least half the team bungled it completely, other than calling that they were going to do Envoy Bateria in the second half.
I think between the two of us, we did a really good job. I got 6 out of 8 in the first round. Oh. And then the second round, I think I missed everything. I don't think I called a single match in the second round, which, you know what annoys me most? So you know how I had talked about, I don't even know if it is on air, but the way that they structure the second round of King of Trios Past would be you take the first 4 matches in order and then they face the second half in order. So like the first match wrestles the winners of match 5, match 2 was 6, 3 was 7, 4 was 8.
Right.
If they had done it that way, I think I would have nailed round 2. Or gotten close to it. No, I wouldn't have nailed it. But I would have been. I would have gotten JWP versus Sendai Girls and Ring of Honor versus Fist. But I think I said Bateria versus WWF and Swarm versus Envoy. So, but I would have got that. So I got none in the second round, right? But I did get Fist and the Envoy in the finals or in the semifinals. I had that.
Oh, so nice. Yeah, I forget what I don't remember what I had. I just knew that Osaka Pro. I mean, they pretty much bungled everything I did because I should have known that that would happen, because clearly the team was supposed to be, now that I'm looking back on it, the team was clearly supposed to originally going to be Jonel Sanders, or however you, Yonel Sanders.
Yonel, that's what I call him.
Instead of Kikutaro. And Kikutaro was probably just available, and they changed it up. That's why we got Kazmahara on night 1 as a random team, as one of those random members. And that's why he ended up on night 3. Sanders did show up there, but whatever. I already exposed that on the last show, that it's that guy. So I should have known then, but I didn't give it enough thought, Kevin.
You gave it no thought from what I remember.
No, little thought, as little as I possibly could.
And a fool you were.
Yeah, that didn't go well.
But anyways, so I guess I should say what I do now.
Chikara
stuff, lots of it. Lots of Chikara all day, every day. My pride and joy is ChikaraSpecial.com. That is my review site for Chikara things. All 3 nights of King of Trios 2012 reviews are up for your viewing pleasure as we speak. And soon I'll be putting up some more 06 reviews, like the 06 Cibernetico. That's going to be coming around, and then I'll be finishing up the year, hopefully by the end of the month. So keep your eyes peeled on ChikaraSpecial.com for that. ChikaraSpecial.tumblr.com is my Chikara Tumblr. All the news fit for you to read is there. Videos, match announcements, what else? Blogs, podcasts, everything Chikara related goes on that Tumblr. And hopefully Justin will start doing photo captions for it soon. I feel like that's been 2 shows I've said that now, which means 2 months of no captions from Justin. Hopefully he gets an attitude adjustment soon. I don't mean the one from John Cena, and starts doing them soon. Otherwise, all my stuff will be there, at least usually average about 4 or 5 updates every weekday, sometimes on the weekends too. And you can follow that and my review blog both through @ChikaraSpecial on Twitter. And you can follow me personally on Twitter @KFord13. And be sure to follow everything we're doing here at PWPonderings.com. Last week I posted 3 reviews, one for Beyond Wrestling, one for AIW, and one for Wrestling is Fun. And I gave all those shows really good reviews, so be sure to check those out. Jerome Cusan had an interview show earlier this week where he interviewed Phil Colvin of AAW, Angelus Lane, one of the greater female wrestlers in the Midwest area, and Michael Elgin, Ring of Honor star and AAW star. So be sure to check out Jerome's interview show there. And I believe Chris and Des Delgado will have their usual weekly news podcast up, so be sure to check that out as well. And all the other great things that we at PW Ponderings are doing. So that's all I got. And oh yeah, and follow us on Twitter @PWPonderings while you're at it. That's all I got. Justin, anything else?
No. I got nothing, to be honest. These 2 cards are... I really wish I could go to the show. I wish I could go with my dad to see some awesome Scar action. I'm going to be having a blast at the beach, but he'll enjoy it. And while these are definitely not King of Trios level cards, there's a lot to love on these cards. I expect some really cool storyline stuff. I hope that you, if you are someone listening for the first time that listened at King of Trios or like King of Trios and given Chikara a shot, feel free to shoot us any questions that you might have. We're really like a crazy amount into Chikara. If you think it's a question, like a too broad a question, don't worry about it. You'll just get a really long email/tweet response. You will get it back.
I've actually gotten, like, I don't know why, but recently I've gotten more questions from just random Chikara fans asking me questions.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. I don't mind answering them. I don't mind getting them.
No, honestly, it's a lot of fun. It's kind of a challenge to map those and figure out how to relay them to people. And I never mind. I'm writing one up for my dad for the show so that he is up on storylines if he wants to be, or if he just wants to go enjoy the show, he can do that. I'm doing that for fun. We're ludicrous, folks, and we are here for your amusement.
It's true. So, yeah. Justin, thanks again for doing this. As you said, it's always fun doing Chikara. That's why we do this. That's why I have a podcast dedicated. That's why I have all these websites. Oh, and a YouTube channel. I keep forgetting the YouTube channel. YouTube.com/TheChikaraSpecial. Not just Chikara Special for that one. I upload promos from all the shows. All 3 days of King of Trios promos are there, including a special Maria Easter egg from Night 3 that I don't think a lot of people saw because it's after the credits. So, Justin, after the credits of King of Trios, be sure to keep going.
Yes, absolutely. Everyone do that. Everywhere.
And yeah, thanks for joining me.
Honestly, always my pleasure. I guess we'll do this a month from now when we're in the Midwest for Chicago and Cleveland. And then it's a quicker turnaround than normal after that with Cibernetico, which a lot of people thought wouldn't be returning because they're crazy.
Yes.
Coming to New York. That's going to be huge, huge, huge. It'll be very interesting to see what teams shake out in the coming months before that show. So, thanks again for having me on.
Always a pleasure. And thank you all for listening. Be sure to check out Chikara and everything they do. And be back with us in just a few weeks when we discuss the shows in Chicago and Cleveland. So long, everybody.
Arriba! Ay, ay, ay!
And all the girlies say I'm pretty fly for a white guy.
Tres, cuatro, cinco, cinco, seis.
What? I like bean dip.